The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
And welcome back to Gotham Undercover. I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
And I am John, a.k.a. The Silver Vox. And welcome to Gotham Undercover. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well. John, thank you so much for coming on board.
Absolutely.
The Scarlet Cougar just needs some time right now. She's dealing with some things, and we as the GSM family are giving her the time she needs and supporting her by filling in and making sure everything keeps running. So, John, thanks for coming on board.
It's my pleasure, Jeff. Always happy to be here hanging out on the streets of Gotham. Actually, well, not on the streets, because it's really dangerous.
Indeed.
Anyway, this is Gotham Undercover, episode 86. And we are part of that Golden Spiral Media podcast network. You can find us at goldenspiralmedia.com or search out the show's Facebook page by searching Gotham Undercover. Jeff, what are we talking about?
That's right. We're talking about To Our Deaths and Beyond. And this was written by a writing duo. So we've got Peter Blake and Ulturi Sosa, I believe is how you pronounce the name. But Peter is a producer on Gotham, done a lot of episodes. And Ulturi's, this is second writing credit. The first one was Let the Meat Pie. So, you know, Pretty good first one to start on and continuing on here. It was directed by Scott White, again, a producer on Gotham. So, yeah, it was
an
interesting episode. Had some twists and turns in there and bringing us closer and closer to the end of the season and bringing in some storylines together that have been kind of brewing all season. So, John, what was your rating on this one?
I was pretty, kind of right down the middle with this one. It had some great, great elements, but I felt like, I don't know, I guess coming down off of the craziness of Jerome, really kind of left this one feeling like it was in second gear, if you will. And I know that's not the case, and we can't always be at the level of that craziness, but I felt like the pacing of this one was so much slower than what we've gotten over the past few weeks. And I was not particularly happy with kind of the back and forth with Ed and what we're supposed to take from that. But anyway, we'll talk about the details. So I gave this one 7 magic knife shops.
Yeah. And I, like I said, I enjoyed the bits and pieces of it and kind of interested to see what they're going to do with some of these plot points. So I gave it 8 ring wraith races. So
Barbara.
Dude, scary, you know, but anyway, so my story titles, and you know, really it was 2 stories with kind of a third kind of rolled in there, but into the main stories. But the main story, I had the two-headed demon's head. So that was the Roz and the Barbara storyline. And then we had the B story, which is Riddly and Ping Dumb. So we have the Riddler and Lee versus Penguin and Butch. And then the C storyline that kind of got rolled into the A was a cat looks out for Bat. So that's Bruce and Selina and Alfred, kind of that storyline. But like I said, it really got rolled into the A storyline.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the B storyline, and then we'll get to the main one. We have 5 banks being hit by Riddler and Lee and their crew in one night. Jim is kind of realizing that, you know, what's going on, that this is the Riddler. And so he's going to track that down. But we see the spoils of those 5 robberies being kind of you know, meted out to the inhabitants of the Narrows. And what did you think about this play between Riddler and Lee in this episode?
Again, this was one of the sticking points for me. And like you said, I wasn't sure where we were supposed to be left with Riddler at the end. Because we had the back and forth. I was totally running with it that, you know, the Riddler was unhappy that Ed still had this attachment. And so he was trying to figure that out and get rid of it. Or so he told Osborne. But then we had the confrontation in the mirror between Riddler and Riddler. This is where it kind of broke down to me. It was like, usually these things have really two dichotomous kinds of images and conversations and voice styles and those kind of things that at least help us along. And I'm not trying to be dense, but it was when we got down to the end of it, and I was like, well, I don't understand who's supposed to be winning here inside of Ed. And is that intentional? Is that sloppy? Yeah. I just couldn't tell.
I think from my point, the conversation was between the mirror was Ed and the Riddler. I think what we really saw was, as opposed to a flip-flop of one taking the place of the other, we really got to see maybe the start of a merger of those two. Riddler says, yes, I know you're playing me, but I also see how you've changed. And I think he is realizing maybe it doesn't have to be one or the other. And so maybe there's start to being a merger of the two separate personalities into really, you know, what's going to shape up to be the true Edward Nygma Riddler character. So I think, I don't know that it was, obviously from your standpoint and maybe in my standpoint a little bit on the first watch, that it was a little, okay, what's going on? And yep, it was a little twisty and turny. That way. But I think really he is seeing that he's listened to what Oswald and Butch have said, that, you know, they made those two, and he sees some value there. But I think he really realizes what's kind of going on, and he realizes that it doesn't have to be one side or the other, and there's got to be some stability there. So I think he's kind of looking at Lee, too, to see, yeah, she was really crazy when she got taken over by...
Yeah, the touch virus. Huh?
Right. She's come back from that, but she's not the same. And yeah, he's seeing that, like I said, I think he's seeing maybe a gray area. So I enjoyed it for that back and forth a little bit. And I enjoyed the fact that we're getting to see the Riddler really being smart there and outsmarting Oswald and Butch by playing them and knowing that he says, listen, I needed the door open. Butch could do that. I know that they were going to rob me, you know, afterwards. I could see that. So I'm keeping them where I can see them. So, you know, keep your enemies closer. So I kind of enjoyed that turnaround. Yeah, he doesn't really care about the people of the Narrows, but he is having fun with Lee, and walking that out is a challenge and fun. So, you know, it's maybe not the clearest writing there, and I agree with you that there, but I think it was had some good twists and turns there. So we know that they have basically torched the land owning records of the Narrows, so nobody can really claim ownership anymore. So that frees up the people of the Narrows more. But I'm wondering, do you think this theft and that torching is the last step of this planned, or is there another step?
Yeah, I think there's bound to be more coming here. It's, you know, the Robin Hood aspect of it all, I think is great, but there's got to be a bigger plot underneath it all. And so I think that is yet to come. And I agree with you. I did very much enjoy the last interaction that they had when Lee gave herself up to the cops. And yeah, very well executed by Marina and
Corey.
Yeah, Corey. Thank you. Very well executed by those two. So I was very happy with that. But again, I just kind of walked away going, I'm not following where this is going, and I don't know. I was uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, I can see that, and it could be just I don't really know how the storyline was broken up. I don't know if this is Aturi's, you know, storyline, or if Peter and her work together. I just don't know. But you know, it's interesting. I'm interested to see where it goes. But like I said, it was had some areas that could be improvement. Let's talk about the Cat and the Bat and Alfred storylines, because
Chippy.
Yeah. Because I loved it. 16-year-old Bruce Wayne driving around Gotham in this, and I love it. Phoenix on the Facebook group was like, isn't this car pretty like high tech for everything that we're seeing? I mean, you know, it's got all the displays, but Bruce is just having fun, just letting that engine roar, and Selina just calls him out. Don't you have a quiet mode on this? And he goes, switches it over, and it just like it's totally silent. And I'm like geeking out. This is so cool. And I just love that. She's just having fun with him, having fun with the car. So it was hilarious. But oh man. But so she's kind of roped him in to helping Tabs out, and not good for Bruce, because the guys of the League want to bring about Mr. Al Ghul, and they need Bruce's blood. What do you think about this aspect of it?
Again, I was left a little bit like, it felt like we had gone through so much, and mm-hmm. Bruce had gone through, through hell and back to bring this story to where it was. And then it was just like we were going back and reversing all of it. And I was like, what? Really? So I was not on board with this, and until the very end. And I know we'll talk more about kind of Ra's and his overall goals and stuff like this. But yeah, and I in the beginning, I was like, oh, come on. Like, it's like they had run out of, it almost felt like they had run out of ideas on this one. And I was not happy.
Yeah, the execution of bringing Ra's back was not that great. I mean, we know that he has to come back because he's in the comics and he's there opposing Bruce later on. It seemed like, okay, he was mad at the guys for bringing him back, and he had a plan with Barbara to shake the League up. He hears one little bit about that she's thinking small, and I'm like, how much time has passed? How do you know that she's, come on? But I'm just like, okay. And then, but
yeah.
Yeah.
The interactions that I love so much throughout this, especially this back half of the season, are the Bruce and Selina dynamics, right?
Yeah.
So, Selina goes through the episode kind of bouncing like a pinball, right, between Barbara and Tab and between Bruce and Alfred. And she is trying to reason through it. She's the only adult, really, in this whole thing, right? She's the only one
who's... say, when the 16-year-old is your voice of reason.
She's the only one willing to say, look, if this is the way it has to be so that, reason prevails, or, she's the one that's bringing the sense of clarity here. And the whole time, I love that she, comes back, and Alfred is so mad because he thinks that she sold out Bruce and all that. And she's like, look, if I go this way, then maybe Barbara has a chance to use the knife and Bruce doesn't have to. And we don't have to go back to the bag that he was.
Yeah. Party Bruce. No, thank you.
Before. And I was like, how reasoned out an adult is that?
Right. We get the group working together to go steal the knife. And that is absolutely hilarious with Alfred and Tabitha. he just starts laying on the accent, and they're just playing off each other to steal the knife back so that Selina can get the knife back. And then then, you know, they I want the knife. Everybody wanted the knife this week, but they get to the meetup and she's caught in the middle between these two groups. Yep. And she's like, okay, if I hand it over, I can de-escalate things. And then she goes with them and it's like, okay, Barbara says, okay, I'm gonna call him out and then I'll stab him. Yeah. And Selena's like,
that's it?
I'm not committing. If you're giving me a choice to commit suicide by Ra's al Ghul, I'm leaving. And it's like, and Barbara has like 2 seconds of questioning herself, and then Tabs comes in and says, oh no, basically, you can do it. And it's like, okay, listen to Selena.
Well, as soon as Tabitha went there, I thought, oh, she's dead. Like, this is it for her. And sure enough, she did die. But then, you know, we get into the whole futurism. But anyway.
Yeah, you know, so like I said, I agree with you. Selena was our voice of truth that people didn't really listen to. And although I appreciated Alfred in the episode, when Selena's talking, she's not wrong. I can agree. You know, it's like, but anyway, you know, it's
second good point.
Yeah. So yeah, it's rough. So, but I know we're pushing towards the end here, but I felt cheated with how quick this storyline with Barbara being the demon's head progressed. I really felt like, I know time has passed. I mean, I know that, you know, the events of last week and the week before, you know, there's been some time passed before we get to this week. But it seems like...
not much. I mean, yeah. Tabs was left out in the street and she was picked up by the guys.
Right, but...
so, I mean, you know, the only thing that happened off screen was that they said, okay, we need Bruce Wayne. And she was like, okay, I know how to get him. And I mean, yeah. That's not time at all.
And,
so.
And the pity is it just felt rushed because... I wanted to see her struggle more with trying to figure out these powers. I wanted see more testing going on and some glimmers of it coming out before maybe it really came out when Tabitha was on the line and that truly brought it out.
And I want to know, and maybe we'll get some more exploration of it, but I want to know why these women are willing to kind of create their own version of the League of Shadows and why the guys are on a different agenda. Isn't the League of Shadows supposed to be pretty unified in, you know, what they're doing and who they're working for? This doesn't seem to ring true, quote unquote true, as far as the comics goes, you know, to me as well. And
yeah, I agree. And I think we've seen it a lot further on in the comics and in the movies and even in Arrow. We've seen the League a lot further on. But it seems like these ladies are being treated like the auxiliary. And so they're being treated like the auxiliary, and they know that Barbara's been given the demon's head, and they trust the wisdom in that to go forward. But this other group is maybe part of the problem that Ra's was trying to weed out. And so I don't know. I mean, it just feels like they got shunted to the side normally, so they're taking up with Barbara because... they see, you know, somebody that she may be a worthy leader. And at the end, they said, listen, you stood up, you know, you don't have the demon's head, but you stood up for the people around you. And so we're going to follow you. And then we get the title, To Our Deaths and Beyond. Yeah, I think there's got to be some integration that Ra's is going to have to do down the road so that there is that unity, because right now we basically in this episode had a League versus League, and I enjoy the kind of the back and forth, and I enjoy, like, we finally get to this showdown and Bruce is coming in, and they said, no, this showdown has to be between the two of them. And they're holding everybody back so the battle can be there. And it's really when everything's on the line that Babs starts to exhibit this ability to see what's going to happen.
Did you hear her at one point, like, pull out the knife and say, stabby, stabby? I was like, hey, look, it's Stabby Babs.
Oh, me.
You know, here's the thing the other thing that I found just kind of about this episode was that it opens on Barbara, right? And she's staring at this portrait.
Mm-hmm.
And the episode ends on Barbara as she has this whole army of women bowing to her and so on and so forth. So if this felt to me like, okay, this is supposed to be Barbara's journey and we were really going to concentrate on that. And at the end of it, I was like, I didn't get the payoff for what this journey has been to Barbara. And I think this is what you're expressing when we started. Mm-hmm. It's like and maybe there's more to come. Right. Maybe she will have residual flashlight hand or some effect of it, you know, kind of a thing. So maybe there's more to develop here. But I came away from the end of this going, that was it.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe that's an effect of too much going on this season. And like I said, we do have three more episodes left.
Yeah.
And we don't know, and we'll get kind of talk to it in the news a little bit. But, you know, we may see more of this next season with the different factions going on. But yeah, I agree. I just felt like this was too good a story just to have like a two arc story, basically.
Yeah.
And it is just too quick because we're invested in Barbara after all the changes that have come about through her character through the seasons, and to see her have a more of a purpose and a calling. And I agree, she was thinking small term of just about Gotham. But I mean, she's lived in Gotham. She's been so caught up in that she can't see beyond that. And I think part of it too is she is having trouble just even being in control in Gotham. So yeah, I agree. I just think I'm hoping we see more because I'd be disappointed if it was just this little bit.
And from Raisha's, from Raisha's point of view, right?
Like, yeah.
If she, okay, so she gets the power, she understands, she's, ruler of the world. I mean, if he comes back to life, what's he going to say? Oh, no, I'm good. She's got it from here. I'm just going to, be this zombie skeleton walking around and it'll be okay. I'll be in service of her. He's not going to do that.
No.
So so it's like this was ultimately pointless. I don't know.
Granted, we pretty much are thinking that the Lazarus Pit in Gotham has dried up. But if he gets brought back to life to that point, couldn't they take him to a Lazarus Pit, throw him in, and bring him a little more back? I mean,
Yeah, I don't know.
I just there's a lot of questions about that. And so I'm just like, okay. So, like I said, I think it suffers from last week of how up last week was and how that was. And so you're obviously going to have a lower point. And so it suffers from that. But I also think we kind of want more.
Yeah.
And things to make a little more sense. We've got three more episodes. We'll see where it goes from there and kind of see what's going on next. And so hopefully we get some type of continuation.
And, there really were some excellent moments in this episode, especially between Bruce and Selina.
Mm-hmm.
There were some excellent moments of Barbara.
Yeah.
I mean, her decision to give this up rather than sacrifice Tabitha when she can see the result of what happens.
Yeah.
I thought was very powerful, very strong. And I was like, wow, that's for Barbara to be selfless in any way, shape or form. It was a great, touching, powerful moment. So, I mean, kudos on a number of different moments in this episode. But you're right. If this to me is the setup for the culmination of this season and for whatever is to come, hopefully in season five, I was like, wow, this left me meh.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, I think, I don't know, we'll talk about it in the news section a little bit, but we'll get there. Anything else you want to kind of go over in this?
You know, I mean, technically, visually, you know, I mean, just as top-notch as ever, and, you know, just an amazing installment as far as this season overall. I mean, I Bad Gotham is like far and away so much better than nearly everything out there. You know, so I will watch this one again and again and again. It's not that. It's just I'm hoping that there's so much more coming out of this. But standing on its own, I was left.
Yeah. So. Well, unfortunately, we didn't get any feedback this week. We got some comments here and there on the Facebook group and things like that. I know people are catching up because of life going on, and we'll kind of get into it. But if you want to leave your feedback, here's how you do it.
To have your feedback heard and read on Gotham Undercover, please submit by our weekly deadline of Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Gotham Undercover. And follow the show on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at GothamGSM. Please send us your feedback at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can type out your thoughts, leave a voice message using the provided SpeakPipe widget, or you can call 304-837-2278. To find the complete list of Golden Spiral Media podcasts and to leave your 5-star reviews, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. Now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
Okay, we've got some news going on. I put in 2 articles in the Facebook group from Comic Book News. And so the first one was a kind of interview from Danny Cannon, and it was really insightful. He is hopeful for a season 5 because basically it would be really hard if they didn't because of what they're setting up. So, you know, it sounds like they're coming to a huge event, which we've kind of been alluding to with the season finale. And if it doesn't happen, oh my goodness. So, but he gives some insight. And what it sounds like is what Karen talked about with her comic book corner is No Man's Land. So basically, you've got this cataclysmic event, and what that's going to be in the context of Gotham, we're just not exactly sure of. But,
well, we saw a little bit of that vision from Ra's himself, right?
Right, yeah, we saw
Gotham burning, literally.
Yeah, and so there's something going to happen that's going to cut off Gotham, that's going to cause basically the different factions to kind of take over your areas of the city. And so that's where I can see, okay, you've got the Narrows where you've got Riddler and Lee, and you've got some other area where it's Penguin and Butch, and then you've got Tabitha and Babs and the League Ladies in one area. And so, you know, I can kind of see that that's where they're going. And Ra's talks about that he is going to use this as a forge to create the Dark Knight of Gotham. And so, you know, obviously we know that it's not going to go exactly the way that he wants it to, but that's, you know, he says that's kind of the reason that he wanted to talk with Bruce, is because he saw these flashes of who he could be. And so that's kind of what we're kind of in store for next season. And once again, the Foxhead, he has said that he wants to see more of Gotham. And so I'm thinking that we're going to get that. I mean, I think we're probably going to have to unfortunately wait till the sweeps in May and the upfronts in May to kind of know. We've got 3 episodes in May, so I would like to know before the season finale, because sounds like the season finale is going to be a cliffhanger. We want to know more. So that was interesting, and that's the first of the 2 articles. The second of the 2 articles was quite interesting. It was another interview talking with him, and basically he said that Jeremiah is not the Joker. And this disappointed me. And yes, I know that all along they've been setting up the... Basically, he talks about it in the article that there's the whole idea of the Joker, and that for some people, this isn't... Gotham is an origin story, but for others, it's why Gotham produces villains and heroes, and the idea of the Joker that, you know, that Jerome talked about, that he was an idea that would continue on. But it's disappointing because of the investment that we have seen from Cameron in the role of both Jerome and now Jeremiah, and to know that, okay, this is just a continuation, because it, to me, it feels like it's cheating him not to call him the Joker. And they're basically saying he's the idea of the Joker, and somebody else will pick up the mantle down the road. And that just feels like cheating to me because of the investment that we have there. Because
walks like a Joker, talks like a Joker, but it's not the Joker,
right? You know, to say that just feels cheap, because when you've got other villains who are canonical villains in there, and to say, well, this one is not. And I see their point and their long game, but it just feels cheap to the actor. Because, I mean, if you're going to do that, and the way that he's play it, the investment that he's put into it, go ahead and talk. You know, call him the Joker. I mean, you know, anyway. So that was kind of disappointing to me that, you know, they're not going to put it there. And I don't know. It's not to the level of the Smallville, you know, he's not going to wear a cape and they're doing everything in their means possible to keep him out of a cape. And, you know, it's like that just got cheap after a while. And so, I hope it doesn't get to that point. But anyway, it's both of those articles are linked in the Facebook group. So go hear it from Danny's, you know, own point of view. We do have a week of hiatus. The NFL is doing its draft next week. And so
go Steelers.
And I'm going to say, well, go Panthers. But anyway, I'm sure if we had my new co-host, Wayne on here, he said, go Packers. But anyway,
what does he know?
We've got a week, but that's good because people can catch up and be ready for what is sounding like three very intense episodes from what I've heard from everybody, cast, crew, everybody, that they're going to be roller coaster ride intense episodes. And so
let me ask you this. Do you think Ivy is shelved for the rest of the season?
See, that's a good question, because I mean, we have not heard from her. I mean, it would kind of feel a little weird of all the rigmarole they went through to recast, to just have her in those couple of episodes and then turn around and she's gone for the rest of the season. So I'm thinking that my thoughts are that she may be back in the last two. I don't think she'll be back next episode, but I think she may be back in the last two. So, but we'll see. I definitely see her probably back in the finale, but we'll see, because I don't think they would do that. So and once again, I think the whole idea of Gotham being cut off and that kind of stuff with factions, that she might play into that somehow. So we'll see. Yep. So we've got a week off and then we're back. So John, won't you tell us what the next episode's about?
Absolutely. Coming on May 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, we have A Dark Knight, That Old Corpse. Chaos erupts at the GCPD, sending Gordon on a wild goose chase for the culprit behind a mass takeover. Meanwhile, a friend of Bruce's becomes paranoid, resulting in rash and destructive behavior in an all-new A Dark Knight, That Old Corpse episode of Gotham. Season 3, episode 20.
as of right now, there are no promo images up.
Yeah. And I saw in the Facebook group, you were like putting up stuff,
I've got like placeholders for the last three episodes because they did finally release. We knew the last episode, we knew the title of that was No Man's Land. And looking on Fox's publicity site, they finally gave us, the episode that we didn't know. But yet we're still kind of, usually it's like the day after. It's usually like, right before we get ready to record, it's time to, to put out the pictures. But none yet. The One Bad Day is episode 21, and then No Man's Land is episode 22. So still no photos. But as soon as they release photos, I'll have them up in the Facebook group. So
excellent.
We thank you so much for being a part of the community here. We look forward to talking with you. We hope you all can get caught up and join us and leave us some feedback, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Have a great week all, folks.